90.5 FM KSJS presents Mecca 1111111111.
Muslims engaged in creating consciousness in America.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Mecca is a place to stay where you are.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Zaindika, and you're listening to Mecca 1 90.5 FM.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, the most merciful, the most gracious. Welcome to Mecca 1, right here on this station, on 90.5 FM, KSJS. So if you don't know, now you do. Ramadan Mubarak to all of you listening right now. Today's topic, alhamdulillah, we have a guest speaker with us, Ustad Suhaib Webb, visiting us. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Glad you could spend some time with us, alhamdulillah, during this month of Ramadan. I know every second is valuable. And Jazakallah khair for joining us today.
Yeah, every second is valuable, so we have to make sure that we do the right things this month to get to taste it and get the maximum reward.
SubhanAllah. And which leads us into the topic of today, which is five things we can do that we can bring the reality of the month of Ramadan inside our hearts. Something that we could taste the true spirit of Ramadan, and something that we could savor and get that, you know, that iman boost, you know, like, you know, and it just tada, goes up, you know. So, and Ramadan is a month where your iman goes up, you know, suddenly you feel like praying, you know, it's easier to do good deeds, and you're just coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's like the final lap, you know, when you run around in a circle and when you do those marathon races, which I've never done, okay, but, you know, in the Olympics and stuff, when they do that,
right.
The final lap is like when you get down, when you really have to put in all of it and just get in there and try to do your best and, you know, win and come on top of things. So
I like also the part about your topic, five things you can do,
right?
Not five things you can know or five things you can understand, but five things you can actually do. So I think it's important that we emphasize to ourselves and to our listeners that these things should be practiced.
Right, so it's not something like in one ear and out the other.
Yeah, like, I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He chastised the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Qur'an. When He said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. Oh, you who believe, why do you say what you don't do? Actually, it wasn't the companions, it was the hypocrites who were saying some things, that they would do this if this happened.
Right.
And they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what's the most beloved thing to Allah? And then Allah revealed it, and they didn't do it. So Allah said, oh, you who believe, why do you say what you don't do? And nowadays, we have this habit. We're going to listen to different speakers or different lectures or different CDs. It's for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very, very dangerous quality.
Right.
But we need to learn to practice, to do. And this is one of the greatest problems that we find in our ummah now. A lot of lip service, but right. Very, very little practice.
A lot of people talk in Islam, but not live in Islam.
Yeah, and like we want to emphasize to ourselves and to our listeners that these are five things we should be doing. For example, if I'm going to listen to Brother Suhaib Webb or Imam Zayshak or Sheikh Hamza Yusuf or Anwar Awlaqi, and I'm listening to, you know, Sheikh Muqtaz, the different scholars or different mashaykh or whoever, and I'm not implementing what I'm hearing,
mm-hmm.
This is a very, very dangerous personality trait. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he talked about the Quran in an authentic hadith, he said the Quran will be a proof for you or against you. Those people that have a lot of Qur'an but don't practice it, they're in trouble.
Hmm.
Those people who even maybe they know only قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ,
hmm.
but they practice that, and they practice, for example, إِقَامِ الصَّلَةِ, where Allah says to establish the salah, and they establish salah, these people are in a good standing with Allah. But if, for example, now I'm reading the entire Qur'an and I read the verse that says, you know, وَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ, that the curse of Allah is on the liars, and I'm a liar, and I don't change myself, you know, this is a dangerous situation. So five things that we can actually do in the month of Ramadan, and I want to encourage myself first, mm. and Brother Umair and the listeners to practice this.
Right. And I think an important quality that we need to bring about before we start the show is just to, like you were saying before I started the show, is to correct our intentions as to why we're here and what is our intent for listening, and that is to better ourselves and to hopefully implement what we hear inside our hearts, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for us. God will help us in whatever we hear to implement those things,
especially you and me.
Right, exactly.
The Prophet said there will be a man in the hellfire. This is authentic hadith, and he will be like tied to a pole, like a donkey is tied to a pole,
mm-hmm.
and he will be walking around in a hellfire with his intestines hanging out, and then people will see him in a hellfire and they will be like, why are you here? you used to tell us to do the good things. Hmm. And he will say, yeah, I used to tell you to do the good things, but I myself failed to practice them. I was practicing the bad things. So it's important that the things we hear now will be either for us or against us. It's important that we make them for us.
Right.
That we don't indict ourselves by our own words.
Right.
Because self-incrimination, you're protected by pleading the fifth.
Right.
In Islam, you're protected from self-incrimination by practicing what you know.
Hmm. So that leads to hypocrisy, right? So on the outside you could be something, but on the inside it could be a totally different story. And isn't the lowest
level
of hellfire reserved for the hypocrites?
Allah said in Surah Al-Nisa that they're going to be in the lowest level of the hell.
SubhanAllah, so inshallah, let's correct our intentions that we're here to learn and you know, may we implement what we hear.
Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen.
So inshallah, if you could start us off with the first point we could do.
Well, the first thing is, like, as you were mentioning, jazakallah khair, that the month of Ramadan, everything intensifies.
Mm-hmm.
Except what? The shaitan. The shaitan is reduced and the obedience to Allah increases.
Mm-hmm.
The sin, the barometer of sin dropped below zero, freezing point, and alhamdulillah, the barometer of obedience to Allah rises well above 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Alhamdulillah, boiling.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a time where alhamdulillah, doing good is facilitated for us. And the proof of this is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is an authentic hadith. He said, إِذَا جَاءَ رَمَضَانَ, when the month of Ramadan comes, فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ, that the doors of paradise are opened. وَغُلِغَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ, and that the doors of hellfire are chained. وَسُلْسِلَتُ الشَّيَاطِينَ, and the devils are chained up.
Okay? Mm.
The doors of hellfire are closed, excuse me, and the shaitan are chained.
Right.
The ulama said, what does it mean when it says the doors of Jannah are opened? Some ulama said that means that it's easy to do the actions that will lead you to Jannah.
Right.
And that the doors of hellfire are closed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates an atmospheric reality where doing evil is very difficult.
Mm.
And the shaitans are chained, alhamdulillah, all of us know what that means. So now it's easy to do good, alhamdulillah, bifadlah. And Allah is so merciful that He made it easy to do good, and He increased the reward of doing good. Usually if someone makes something easy for you, they will not give you a better reward. They will say, well, now it was easy for you.
Right.
Allah Azza wa Jalla, because Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, He made subhanAllah doing good easy, and He doubled the rewards, or tripled the rewards, or even 10 times the reward, because of His love for His servants. SubhanAllah, that's why one hadith Rasulullah said that in this month the nawafil get the reward of the fard. The extra acts of ibadah, like praying Salatul Duha, praying my Qiyamul Layl, those salat will be given the reward of the fara'id. SubhanAllah. So not only did He make it easy, but He increased the reward. This is how much Allah Azza wa Jal loves us. So the first thing that we should taste or practice in this month is al-ubudiyyah, is the servitude to Allah, to be the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah, what you mentioned, it reminds me of like how, you know, when you go to a friend's house, you tell him, you know, you're going to come over or something, and he says, you know, I'm going to be in the house, but I'm going to be running around or doing stuff, but I'll leave the door open for you. So, in the same sense, when you're mentioning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves the doors of paradise, it's like an invitation that, look, the door is open, just come in. All you got to do is come in now. It's not that difficult for you to knock or be outside, you know, waiting for your friend to come down. Because you love Allah, you want to, and He made Jannah for us. Who else is Jannah for? It's for us. He made it for us, and now that the doors are open, you're saying, come on, like, run in, like, just walk in. And it's so, and the month of Ramadan is that stepping stone.
Rasulullah said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, عَدُّ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ, I have prepared for my servants what the eye never saw, وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ, what the ear can never hear, وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ, and no heart can imagine. Allah prepared al-jannah for His ibad, the people who tasted al-ubudiyyah. Those people who are the servants of Allah in this life will taste, alhamdulillah, the freedom in the next life. Those people who are the servants of the dollar, or the woman, or the drugs, or the stock market, or the Nasdaq, or whatever themselves, then subhanAllah, as the Prophet said, Ta'isa abdu dinar, Ta'isa abdu dirham. The Prophet said that the slave of the dirham, which is a form of money, and the dinar is destroyed. And he said, وَتَعِسَ عَبْدُ الْقَطِيفَ, قَطِيفَ is a type of clothing, وَتَعِسَ عَبْدُ الْخَمِيسَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَمَ, and also destroyed is the slave of garments. Ibn Taymiyyah said, look how the Prophet said, عَبْدُ 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 dinar, عَبْدُ الدِّرْهَمَ, Abdul Qatifa, Abdul Khamisa, the slave of the dollar, the slave of money, the slave of clothes.
Right.
He said, notice how the Prophet said, Abd, because it's possible to be an Abd of something other than Allah.
Right.
And some point that you said also is interesting, right? If the door of Jannah is open, all we have to do is go in.
Right.
If the door of Hellfire is closed, in order to go in, we have to kick the door down.
Right.
So the people who are doing evil this month are really, really after evil.
Yeah.
They're knocking the door down, and they're breaking the chains of shaitan from their bodies.
Yeah, just walk away from sin.
Yeah, so this is the month to taste slavery to Allah, servitude to Allah. And the concept of servitude of Allah is Islam. Islam teaches us how to be the servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this has a lot of benefits. But subhanAllah, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he said that the servitude of Allah is found in the verse إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. Because life is based on four things, man. Number one, I have to find out what will benefit me, or I have to seek what will benefit me in the hereafter. Number two, I have to stay away from those things that will harm me in the hereafter.
Right.
Number three, I have to seek the means to obtain number one. And number four, I need to be guided to what will protect me from number two. So he said number one and two, the seeking of what will benefit and being away from what will harm in the hereafter, is إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. And number three and four, finding the means to achieve number one and to be safe from number two, comes only with help. And that's إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. And whoever experienced this relationship with Allah, I worship you, but I need your help to worship you.
Right.
I believe in your Jannah, because why, Ya Allah? I'm not good enough for your Jannah, but I can't handle your fire. So what? I need your help to save me. So this is al-ibadah wal-isti'ana, and help. And in the Quran, many times like in Surah Al-Mulk, Allah said, قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ آمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. Say, He is Ar-Rahman. We believe in Him and we trust in Him. Believe in Him is إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. We trust in Him is إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And this ubudiyya, the servitude of Allah, is not only on the tongue, like we said earlier.
Right.
How this month can I practice? I'm really the slave of Allah. So Ibn Qayyim said, the ubudiyya is in the following parts. Number one, the ubudiyya, the servitude of the heart. What do I love? What do I love the most? Do I love getting high the most? Do I love Britney Spears the most? Do I love my dog the most? You know, now people paying $30,000 for dog caskets. And we have homeless people in the streets. They can't even have food. Do I love, subhanAllah, my car? Or do I love my Creator? The heart. So now everyone listening can check themselves. What do I love? One sister came to me before. I only have 40 jilbabs, brother. Ya Allah, what do you love? Poor girl's husband drives like a U-Haul truck with a jilbab in it, you know. What do we love? What do we care about? Do we stay home and watch Monday Night Football, or we go to Tarawih? Do we stay home and do something and skip the ibadah of Allah Azza wa Jal? So the first is the heart. And he said this is like your hope, your love, your aspirations, that you're kind to other people. Why? Because you love Allah Azza wa Jal. You're good to other people, including non-Muslims. Why? You love Allah Azza wa Jal. You're a servant to the people. You help the people. Why? Because you love Allah Azza wa Jal. Your belief, your love, your fear, your hatred, everything for Allah. This is the heart that has this ubudiyya. The next, he said, go ahead, Akhi.
Unfortunately, I just wanted to interject for a second. Unfortunately, what we see, or I mean, even if I look inside myself, I often find myself, we always want to please ourselves. We can please ourselves, but at the same time, but are we pleasing Allah? You know, are we pleasing Allah, or are we disobeying Him just to please our own self?
Yeah.
Like, for example,
I got one.
Okay, go ahead.
When someone goes to the masjid, and they go to the masjid because they want to see their friends.
Right.
That's the main reason they go. Seeing your friends is part of worship, right?
Right.
But that shouldn't be the main reason.
Right.
The main reason should be
to go speak to Allah.
To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? To worship Allah. You got one?
If you don't have the correct intention, something good, like, oh, I gotta go drop off my sister today, you know. Like I'm Mr. Brother Dude.
Mr. Good Housekeeper.
Mr. Good.
Martha Stewart.
Right.
Right.
So instead of I should do it for the sake of Allah. You know, or for example, when you're praying, you know, people around you be like, oh yeah, you know, let me extend the rak'ah real quick, you know, homies. This pious homie sit next to me, you know, I want him to. But then a quick way to combat that is like, this guy can't reward me, you know. This guy can't hook me up with anything. So I'm doing this for Allah, you know.
And the scholar said you shouldn't stop doing it also.
Right.
Because that could be it, you stop doing it for him, not for Allah, right?
Right. So it's a tough situation.
It's a tough situation. It's hard. And that's why we need help of Allah.
Right. That's why it's a struggle. Right.
The other thing they said is al-ubudiyyah of the tongue. Okay?
That's hard. That is a tough one, man.
To say only those things which would
please Allah.
Like many times, like husbands, they cuss, you know?
Right.
Or sisters cuss. Mm-hmm. You know, subhanAllah, why we cuss? Because we're not happy with the qadr. I mean, it's the minimum thing that we should say is inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But if I say bleep,
right,
that means I wasn't satisfied with the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal.
Right.
You know, an easy way to handle this like cussing issue is to replace it with dhikr. Say subhanallah.
Right.
Because when you say subhanallah, what happens?
You get a tree in Jannah.
Yeah, and what do you get from saying the SH word? Absolutely nothing. A sin.
Yeah.
So subhanallah, wouldn't it be better to replace that with subhanallah and then meet Allah with a whole garden of trees that the Prophet said would take a traveler 1 year to travel under. I think I would rather have the trees.
Yeah, I'd rather get the tree too. And we could talk about, the tree could be a whole show of how.
Yeah, it could be a show.
Describe one tree in paradise is just like, I just want to be on that, under that tree, like right now.
Yeah, man.
So subhanAllah, and a good way to test yourself if you're bad in this is, what do you say when you bump yourself or when you trip or when you
slam your
hand in a door? What do you say? Do you say oh, or do you say subhanAllah? It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard, but I like, for example, if my sister or somebody else around me, if they hurt themselves or something, I say quickly make a dua. Because that's like the last thing on your mind. You want to make a prayer real quick. But then God listens to you when you're in pain, when a person is difficulty. At the first moment, who does he think of? You know, does he think of a bad word? Or does he say, Ya Allah, you know, turn this thing that affected me into a means to getting me into paradise.
That's good.
And subhanAllah, you know, what if Allah subhanAllah accepts that at that moment?
Number three, he said, is the slavery of the body parts, the entire body. The ubudiyyah, servitude of Allah, bil jawarih, with the limbs. Now, you know, there's something interesting. Didn't he just say the tongue?
Right.
But now he's saying the whole body.
Right.
Isn't the tongue part of the body?
The tongue is just its own entity.
Yeah, that's what he's trying to tell you. He's trying to say that the tongue is so serious. Because, like, somebody can say one thing and go to Jannah.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, someone could say something and
go to the hellfire.
In the hellfire.
Right.
So he took the tongue out of the entire body to emphasize that tongue, that muscle in your mouth, is dangerous business.
It's very dangerous.
Yeah, there should be like a caution sign.
Right.
Like, you know, the police tape on people's lips, man.
Right.
To warn people, like, be careful. Like Abu Bakr at that time, he was pulling his tongue.
Right.
And they, you know, he said, this thing is destroying me.
Right.
But the body parts includes the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet, and so many other things.
The tongue moves faster than the sword, seriously.
Yeah, for real. So the body parts, subhanAllah, why do you think he said the heart, then the body parts?
Because
what we see the body parts on the outside, though.
Because whatever you do on the body parts affects the heart.
Yeah, you know, subhanAllah, like lowering the gaze. You know, they say that the gaze is the tunnel to the heart.
Hmm.
Like, subhanAllah, I know, like, a lot of brothers and sisters, like, I know when I was there, even to this day, you know, we go to the mall or we go to the university campus or wherever we are, we're tested by lowering our gaze.
Right.
And many times, like, we don't understand the correlation between the gaze and the heart. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in an authentic hadith that related by Imam Ahmed, that subhanAllah, he said that this glance at something forbidden is from the arrow of the arrows of shaitan.
Like Cupid's arrow.
They make it
make it all of
naked little babies flying around. But this is a devil.
Exploiting like CK commercials.
Yeah, so it can really affect people. And actually there was one scholar, he had like a really, really nice conversation between the eye and the heart.
Hmm.
The eyes and the heart. So he said, subhanAllah, when the heart seeks and wants, the eyes follow. And then the eyes see what pleased the eye, and the heart tastes that pleasure, looking at that haram thing, like a Fredericks of Hollywood catalog, you know, something horrible like
Maxim
that.
Maxim magazine.
Or
at the grocery store.
Or most importantly, especially for a lot of people, are the pornographic websites and emails that people receive.
Stuff.
And what happens is a Muslim will get a pornographic email. He'd be like, "Oh, it's not my fault. I can look because I'm not. I didn't. You know, it just came to me,
mm-hmm.
right?" But what about the lady that came to Yusuf, man? He didn't ask for it. She came to him.
Right.
And you know, one important thing, like if you want to know where your faith is, especially with regards to like these pornographic websites,
mm-hmm.
like the hadith of the Prophet that says seven people will be under the shade of Allah
mm-hmm.
when there's no shade but the shade of Allah. Like people think it's so easy to be from these seven. And then he says that one man who a beautiful woman called him to commit zina
mm-hmm.
and he refused and said, "Inni akhaf Allah,
I fear Allah."
SubhanAllah, if I'm not able to say Inni akhaf Allah to a web page,
right.
how could I say Inni akhaf Allah to the real thing? I mean, this is just like an indication of where we are under the shade of Allah.
Reality check.
Yeah, big reality check. So SubhanAllah, the heart and the eyes had a conversation. So the heart, he blamed the eyes. He said, "How come you looked at that thing and this arrow came into me?" That the Prophet said, you know, the glance, another, that the glance is from the arrows of the devil. And then he said to the eyes, "Didn't you hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" The heart said, "Look at the Quran. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغْضُونَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ." Tell the believing men to lower their gaze. Then subhanAllah, he was like checking the heart. Like he started quoting hadith and stuff. The heart started checking the eyes.
Right.
This is how the eye responded and said, "أَنْتَ مَالِكْ وَنَحْنُ جُنُود." You're the king, we're just the soldiers. You issue the orders and we follow you. So when somebody has trouble, you know, lowering his gaze
mm-hmm.
and looking at the forbidden,
mm-hmm.
let him know that there's a disease in his heart. Let him know that there's a sickness from the sickness of nifaq and weakness of iman in his heart. Because Allah said about those people like that, "Fi qulubihim marad." They have a sickness in their heart. So subhanAllah, the eye is going to respond to the heart. What? The scholar said the eye will say to the heart, "Don't you remember what the Prophet said? That indeed, in the body there's a piece of flesh. If it's sound, the whole body's sound. If it's corrupted, the whole body's corrupted." That piece of flesh, that epicenter of obedience or disobedience, that epicenter of ubudiyyah is the heart. So the heart is the key to everything.
Another good thing that kind of makes me check myself is I think about, you know, people who are blind, people who have no eyesight, you know, and we have eyes. That God is, we didn't have to buy these eyes. It was given to us for free. Now imagine if you were blind. How much money would you be willing to pay for a pair of eyes? Your whole life, you'd work your whole life, a billion, trillion, if I had a trillion, I'd give it for a pair of eyes. And it's a gift, and that's what we forget. You know, sometimes like the famous saying goes, you know, you don't know what you got till it's gone. So eyesight, you know, subhanAllah, it's, may Allah subhanAllah make our eyes Muslim, you know.
That's why Allah said, "Qul huwa alladhi ansha'akum wa ja'ala lakum as-sam'a wal-absara wal-af'ida qalilan ma tashkurun." Allah said in Surah Al-Mulk that Allah is the one who nurtured you and He gave you hearing, seeing and hearts, but little is it that you thank Him. And Ibn Kathir said it means most people use their eyes and their hearing and their emotions for sin. Very few people will use their eyes and their hearing and their hearts for goodness.
Yeah, or those faculties to please themselves instead of pleasing Allah.
Yeah,
Mecca 1, 1, 1, 1, 1.
You're listening to Mecca 1.
To help support Mecca 1 Radio or to bring Mecca 1 Radio to your city, please visit us on the web at www.mecca1.org. That's www.mecca1.org.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, the most merciful, the most gracious. Welcome back to Mecca 1, right here on this station, 90.5 FM KSJS, Thursdays from 5 to 6 p.m. So if you don't know, now you do. Alhamdulillah, we have Ustad Suhaib Webb joining us today.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, I'm taking that class in the morning.
Yeah, well, Sheikh Saeed.
JazakAllah for telling me about it.
Yeah,
I got beat down, though.
Yeah, well, everyone does.
Alhamdulillah.
But it's worth it, though.
Yeah, it is. So, alhamdulillah, we've been talking about five practical things or five things we could do to taste the sweetness and to truly benefit from this month that we're in right now, the month of Ramadan. And we talked about, first and foremost, is closing the door.
The opening door.
Or the opening of the gates of paradise.
By tasting ubudiyah.
By tasting ubudiyah, which is?
Servitude to Allah.
Okay. Now we're going to move on to
the second thing we can do in the month of Ramadan, which would be to leave sins.
To leave sins.
And quite logically, that would be one of the outcomes, because the Prophet said that the doors of paradise, the doors of hellfire, are closed. So if the doors of hellfire are closed, as many ulama said, then that means doing evil is more difficult. But subhanAllah, why do people sin? What would you think? What's the reason that people sin?
Shaitan.
I mean, let's not blame everything on shaitan. I mean, of course, shaitan's there, right? But Allah said, indicate a shaitan, he can't die.
Right.
The plan of shaitan is weak.
Right. I think we sin because we ourselves are weak.
But why? Why do we sin? Why do we do anything in life? Because we think that there's some benefit from it.
Right.
Like, people sin because they think, like, you know, for example, a guy sees a nice looking girl on campus. Or a girl sees, you know, a nice car she wants to buy. But the only way she can buy it is on interest. So subhanAllah, we think that the reward of having the car will be greater than the punishment with Allah.
Mm.
Or the reward of, you know, being seen with that fine girl, or drinking or going to the club and being known as Mr. Popular, would be greater than the reward that I would get with Allah.
I think it also comes down to what a person believes as being successful.
Yeah, and that's based on rewards, right?
Right.
So let's look at sins. And let's look at the outcome of sinning, like through history. Like throughout history, if we go back, like, you know, even in the time of Adam, you know, what was the outcome of the first mistake with Allah? What was the benefit of eating from the tree, Adam and his wife? What happened? When Shaitan was telling them that if you eat from this tree, antakuna marakani aw takuna min al-khalidin, you're going to be angels, you're going to live forever. This is the first false advertisement, by the way.
Right.
You know, like nowadays, many people out there false advertising.
Right.
They learned this from the devil. The devil makes evil look good.
Mm-hmm.
He's a false advertiser, right?
Right.
And he uses peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said to Adam and his wife, inni lakum la min an-nasihin. No, he said, I myself am from a large body of people who wanted to tell you this. Like, there's a lot of people out there who want to tell you
right.
that this tree is good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there was only one creation, mm-hmm. was Shaitan, right? So he acts like there's a lot of people with him. Like, you know, when you're at school and someone's like, hey, man, let's smoke some bud.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, shh, man, I ain't finna smoke no bud. They're like, what's the first thing to say? Everybody.
Everybody does. Like,
everybody does.
Even
that.
The teacher does.
Yeah, even the principal, even the superintendent of the school.
Right, even the right. president.
Yeah, but he didn't inhale. So, I mean, like, you get that. That sense that shaitan also, the tricks we see today, like what's called quote-unquote modern-day peer pressure,
right.
is just a shaitanic trait that exists in society. So Adam, he fell for the okey-doke. He and his wife, alayhim as-salam, they ate from the tree. So that was the first mistake
mm-hmm.
that anyone ever made with Allah.
Right.
So what was the outcome? The reward was to eat from the tree, right? You'll become an angel, live forever.
Mm-hmm.
But what was the reality? What happened to them? قُلْنَا هَبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا
They got out of paradise.
Yeah, we would be there right now, bro.
Right.
We would all be under that tree. That one-year shaded tree.
Chilling. Relaxing.
With a lot of other guests that we would have in that tree.
Right.
Enjoying ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first, subhanAllah, outcome of someone that made a mistake with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing that happened is like the people of Nuh. The flood that hit them was all due to their sin. The people of Lut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them because they were homosexuals and they insisted on remaining that way. So their sin led to
destruction. Yeah.
The same with the people of Hud, the people of Salih, the people of Shu'aib. I mean, nations after nations after nations were destroyed by or due to their sins.
Also, a thing is that one person might think they could get caught up in sin is because they don't see the repercussions right away of their evil action. For example, they could keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, and then all of a sudden then they get tadao caught, you know, and that's when it kind of hits them. So some people just go so far that they think it's okay because nothing's happened to me so far, so I'm just keep doing it.
Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. They see the punishment as being far away, but indeed we see it, Allah says, as being close. Now there are some specific individual repercussions for sinning,
right?
So let's mention those, and maybe that will help bring it home. First and foremost is that sinning takes one away from Allah. And subhanAllah, what greater punishment could there be than to be away from Allah?
Right. Not knowing our Creator.
Yeah, to be out there. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ Allah says, don't be like those people who forgot Him, and they forgot themselves.
Right.
And we see that constantly. Like, how many of us, we know Muslims right now, who are out there? How many of us, we know Muslims right now, who are not fasting, who are not praying, who don't even care about themselves? this is a very dangerous thing. And the more that I sin, the farther I get away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ulama, they said there are some specific repercussions, actually Ibn Qayyim, of sinning.
Hmm.
Number one, he said that the ilm, knowledge of Allah, knowledge of the religion is a light. That's why Imam Shafi, one time he came to his teacher and he said, I complained to Waqi'an and Su'an Hifthi, فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَى تَرْكِ الْمَعَاسِي فَقَالَ إِنَّ الْعِلْمَ النُّورِ وَنُورَ اللَّهِ لَا يَعْتَ الْعَاسِي. He said, I complained to my teacher that I had trouble memorizing, right?
Hmm.
So my teacher said that the knowledge of Allah is a light. And light, the light of Allah cannot mix with the sin and darkness of sin. So Ibn Qayyim said, the first one is that it is hard to obtain the knowledge of Allah when the darkness, the light of the knowledge of Allah, when the darkness of sin is in the heart.
It's like, it reminds me of like, if you're driving in your car and it's a really hot day, you got the AC on, but all your windows are down.
Yeah, no purpose.
I mean, what effect is that going to do? It's not going to really cool the car. So if you're driving around and you're doing good deeds, but if you got that window open of sin coming in, you're not going to see the effect of retaining itself, the goodness retaining itself inside you.
SubhanAllah, once there was a gathering of students of knowledge with one sheikh, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this one student of knowledge, he raised his hand. And he said, like, Sheikh, I'm having trouble memorizing the Qur'an. Like, he said, like, I can't memorize the Qur'an.
Hmm.
And then the Sheikh, the first thing he said to him is, how's your relationship with your parents? Everybody was like, SubhanAllah, why is that the first thing, like, the Sheikh would ask him?
Right.
And then he said, like, I have a problem with my father. So the Sheikh, he told him, go and fix the problem with your father. Even if your father's wrong, try to fix the problem with him and try to be good with him as Islam ordered, right? So then a year later, SubhanAllah, this is on a series of tapes, right? A year later, they were still taping like the lectures of the Sheikh.
Hmm.
And this one guy raised his hand. He said, Sheikh, do you remember me? I'm the guy almost like a year or so ago who told you about my difficulties in memorizing the Qur'an.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, Alhamdulillah, I fixed my relationship with my father and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened my heart and I memorized the Qur'an. SubhanAllah, like, we don't think about these things. I remember when I first became Muslim and I had like problems with my parents and I could not memorize like even like 3-4 verses a day, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go to my teacher and SubhanAllah, always the first thing he would say to me is like, How's your parents? I used to get mad. I was like, man, why do you keep... I don't care about my parents. Stuff for Allah, you know? And then, like, he told me, like, man, you have to fix this sin. Because, that's, like, especially the sin with your parents, like, it creates so much darkness in your heart that no light can get in. Because, as they say, the hearts are like containers. Mm-hmm. If you fill the container with sin, there's no space for obedience. If you fill it with obedience, there's no place for sin. Alhamdulillah. So he was telling me, like, so then somehow I fixed that relationship with him. And alhamdulillah, I can memorize like 3-4 pages a day, subhanAllah, by Allah's mercy. So like, that's the first very, very dangerous thing. That somebody who sins will have a difficult time obtaining knowledge. And knowledge is our fuel for correct worship. And correct worship, correct ubudiyyah, is our fuel for Jannah. So it's very, very dangerous. You ready for number two?
Number three, right?
Number two.
Oh, okay.
The number... Well, after the major one, yeah. Number three, is that sinning, it reduces one's provisions. And it's interesting that you're saying that usually people sin because they think they'll be successful. Right?
Right.
So the ulama, they said that sinning takes away from your rizq. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that the son of Adam, as a hadith related by Imam Ahmad with a good chain, that the son of Adam, he makes his rizq forbidden to him, bidhunubi, by the sins which he acts on.
How would you translate risk in English?
Provisions.
Provisions?
Yeah. Things that you've been provided by Allah.
Like food, shelter.
Food, shelter, clothes, everything. Health,
well,
health, afiyah. Everything. So subhanAllah, when somebody sins, usually they sin because they think they're going to get something.
Right.
But actually they're taken away from their provisions with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Now does this imply to Muslims only or also non-Muslims?
Applies to everybody. Then maybe somebody says, how come I see sinners, they got like a lot of stuff.
Yeah, riding around fat cars, big houses and stuff, and just partying all night long.
And actually, this is a punishment. Because risk, the best risk is the risk of faith.
SubhanAllah, the wealth of iman.
And the wealth of taqwa. And the wealth of... Like, see, that's how we are now. When I said the word risk, people immediately think like, shoot, I know people that are tripping. They got nice cars and fat houses.
Mm-hmm.
But remember the statement of the Prophet, لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرْضِ وَلَكِنَ الْغِنَى غِنَى نَفْسِ. Richness, the Prophet said, is not the things that you collect, but richness is in the soul. Yani, people having, alhamdulillah, so many nice things, but a'udhu billah, the soul is homeless. The heart is poor. The spiritual reality is gone. I mean, Spala, you hear like about these rich people, right? Or people who won the lotto and then they killed themselves.
Right.
Everything, but subhanAllah, they killed themselves.
Or go into depression.
So when we say rizq, it's a good point you made, mashaAllah. The first and foremost, most important rizq I can have is Islam. And how many Muslims out there, subhanAllah, don't even think about that.
Right.
They don't even care, Shaykh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you a Muslim. That's why after we eat, we say Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana min al-Muslimin. We mention Islam even when we eat, because this is the greatest richness that anyone can have as Islam.
And a lot of us have been born with Islam and we still don't know that we're sitting on this treasure box, and it's still not even, we don't want to open it. We're just sitting on it.
And if you don't audit the treasure that you have, man, you get audited tough.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So people got up.
And the thing that hit me back in the days is that the hadith, I think it is, that if the mafhum of it is that if you don't do something with this deen, if you don't take this deen out and follow it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God will replace you with
it. It's in the Quran.
Oh, it's in the Quran. وَيَسْتَبْلَ
قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ. You'll be replaced by another people. Look at Yusuf Islam. Who did he replace? Yusuf Islam, yeah. He replaced somebody. Allah brought some seer.
Right.
Out of nowhere.
Right.
A guy that was way out there, and now he's a da'ya to Allah.
Right.
SubhanAllah, I mean, isn't that amazing? This guy is doing the work that people didn't do. Allah bringing him in front of our eyes to show us.
Right.
Napoleon,
mm-hmm.
from the outlaws.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, remember his life story was so, subhanAllah, tear-jerking.
Brother Muta.
No, he's replacing somebody that's out there.
Who's
listening to the music, going to the, what's that city?
I don't know, city
nights or something.
City frights or something.
Yeah, city gets frightened, right? I mean, subhanAllah, being replaced, man.
15.
By people, man, who are way out there. And this is even a greater sign that we better wake up, man.
Right.
Your listeners, better quit slipping. We better quit slipping.
I know, one time during my show, I started off the show with the Fajr Salah Alan. Because, you know, it's...
Nobody prays Fajr, right?
As-salatu khayru min an-nawm. I was like, all you cats sleeping out there, it's time to wake up. Mecca 1 is on.
Alhamdulillah. Let's move on to the fourth one. And
okay.
Maybe the most dangerous one.
SubhanAllah.
And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when somebody commits a sin, a dark
dot
appears
on the heart.
On the heart. So he said, تُعْرُضُ الْفِتْنَ, that this trial, and he called in this hadith, he called sins as a trial, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fitna. This fitna will be rolled out to the hearts like waves, man.
Mm-hmm.
So it will not stop this roll. Everybody will be tested with sins.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, subhanAllah, the heart that accepts it, a small black dot will appear on the heart. The heart that rejects it, and this hadith is sound,
mm-hmm.
related by Imam Abu Dawud al-Tirmidhi. And the heart that rejects it, a spot of nur will appear on the heart. So here's the choice now. I'm out
right.
there. I got a girlfriend. Or I can go to Taraweeh. You want the darkness? You want the light. I got this dime bag with me. You want the darkness? You want the light.
Mm.
You gotta choose.
Yeah.
It's a choice. يُخْرِجُ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ.
Allah
took him from darkness to light. So the person who drinks the sin,
mm-hmm.
Allah said, وَأُشِّبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلَ, that those people that worship the cow, their heart drunk it, the sin. This is بَلَاغَ in Arabic. They wanted it, so... You know when somebody drinks,
right.
people drinking sins, man.
Right.
So when they drink, there's an athar, and the athar is the black dot. But the one who rejects and says, "Inni akhafu Allah, I fear Allah, it's the month of Ramadan, I gotta get myself together, man.
Right.
I gotta wake up." The light appear on their heart. And he said that person will keep sinning until the heart is covered with darkness, like a glass vase, you can't see through it or out of it.
Right.
But the one who keeps repelling sins, alhamdulillah, the heart will be light, man. As Allah said, وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decorated faith in فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ, in your hearts, talking to the Sahaba.
So subhanAllah, each sin, though they may be small, like even if they're getting a small black dot, it can add up to encompass the whole heart.
Yeah, and this is the next one. Go ahead.
And it reminds me of how people smoke cigarettes. It could be one cigarette, two cigarettes a day, and next thing you know, they got black lungs and they're coughing up storms. Was that a demo?
And then they die.
Yeah. and then they die. And so it accumulates.
And when they die, they say, I wish I never what? Smoked that? What? Smoked what? That?
Cigarette. That one.
That first one.
The first one that did it.
You know, subhanAllah, and this leads us to our last one about this. The Salaf al-Salih, they used to say, إِنَّ عُقُوبَةَ السَّيِّئَةِ السَّيِّئَةُ بَعْدَهَا. They used to say that indeed, the punishment of sin is that another sin will follow it. Like you were saying, the cigarette, one, two, two. And they used to say, وَإِنَّ مِنْ ثَوَابِ الْحَسَنَةِ الْحَسَنَةُ بَعْدَهَا. They used to say that, and the reward of doing good is that good will follow it.
Right.
So sin leads to sin. And eventually what happens to the sinner is they do so many sins that they say, you know what, man, Allah will never forgive me. Khalas, that's it. I'm just going to die, and that's it. And that's very dangerous, man. Mm-hmm. So
it's kind of like what also, you know, what product are you selling? Are you selling evil, or are you selling good? Are you employed by God, or are you employed by shaitan? Because once you start doing sin, then you're like a worker of shaitan. You're just importing out to your friends, to the people around you. You want to influence them into sin. But then if you start doing good, then hopefully Allah, you know, God will help us into being callers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, into being callers of good and enjoying people to do good instead of evil. So, subhanAllah, that's a blessing that we need to all implement inside our lives, inshaAllah ta'ala. Now I think what we should, inshaAllah, move on to is our prayer. I know we're in the month of Ramadan and we're doing a lot of standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, standing in front of God, you know, with our prayer, and especially with Taraweeh.
You know, in the masjid that I go to that I don't want to mention, although probably everybody knows, you know, there's a huge percentage of people sitting on the walls during Taraweeh, even before the 8 rakats are finished. There's people that pray 8 or 20, right? And most of them are people under the age of 23, man. And at the same time, in the same masjid that I go, there's like an 80-year-old man in a wheelchair who bust out 20, dude. Mm. I mean, can you imagine that? That is a bad sign, man. And they talk. They sit back there and talk. And I was told on the sister side, it's the same thing. They're over there talking about their mascara, about the new Beyonce CD, about the bling bling, about all kind of stuff over there, man. And these young sisters don't realize, man, they're the future of our ummah, man. These young brothers don't realize, man, they're the future of our ummah, man. And really, man, it's scary to see somebody cannot rein in his soul enough to force him to pray.
And that's pretty sad. If this is happening during the month of Ramadan, then
Ramadan ain't even around.
Yeah, then imagine, you know, during when we're out of Ramadan, you know.
I mean, and the thing is, like, for every mafal that you pray, you get the reward of a fault. I told this one kid that he wasn't praying. Then he came and, like, he's praying next to me, this little kid.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, I was like, man, good job, alhamdulillah, man. And then I told him, you know, every time you pray this, you get the reward of, like, one of the 5 daily prayers. He was like, man, I didn't know that, man.
Mm-hmm.
I think he started busting out after that.
So, inshallah, all of us who are thinking, you know, I'm lost, it's not going to happen, let's make our intention that today is the day, inshallah, we'll stand up and drop 20, inshallah.
It doesn't look like we're going to get done with the 5 things, but 3 things we can do, or 4 or 5 things we can do.
Right.
And that's one of them. So, let's look at our salah. The first about, like, for example, the issue of the Taraweeh. The Taraweeh, subhanAllah, we shouldn't make an issue out of it that we split the ummah. Like, you find some people, they say, like, I'm not going to go to that masjid, they pray. I'm not going to go to that masjid, they pray 20. No, alhamdulillah, we're all brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And both opinions are founded on scholarly research.
Right.
But I like what you were telling me earlier about the idea of working 8 hours and stuff. Why don't you break that off?
Right, yeah. I mean, it's like you were just saying, it's not a big deal. If you work 8 hours, you get paid for what you put in. If you want to work overtime, you want to do 20 hours, then
You get a fatter check.
So
that's very cool. That's a good look at it. So we shouldn't, like if I pray 8, I shouldn't feel that people who pray 20 are sinners.
Right.
And if I see, like, I pray 20 and I see people pray 8, I say, alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, subhanAllah, both of them are founded on scholarly research.
Right.
We shouldn't make it an issue. Although the agreement of the scholars, or the majority of the scholars, said to pray 20,
mm-hmm.
but we shouldn't make it an issue where we split the nation.
Also, it's an issue of our own self, you know. I'm standing here because I need this. You know, it's the month of Ramadan. I need it. That's why I'm standing here.
Yeah, everyone, maybe in this issue, he's writing his own prescription.
Right.
I mean, if somebody prayed 60, no problem. If somebody prayed 12, no problem. If somebody prayed 15.
Right.
If you want to pray 1,000 rakat, man, go knock yourself out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Alhamdulillah. Yeah. This is the month to do so.
Right. But the minute we start looking at other people, you know,
and looking down on them, and making fitna,
that's when we're wrong.
Because the brotherhood is a wajib,
right?
And the taraweeh is a sunnah,
right?
And how many
it's more important for us to be unified than for us to be fighting over these small issues like this. Like Brother Azhar was saying, it's moon sighting or moon fighting, you know.
Right.
So it's like, can we all get along, you know?
Rodney King Mata.
For real, Rodney King Mata.
So, SubhanAllah, this scholar, he talked about the inward aspect of Salah. Like, now is the time that we can check ourselves. Like, do I have this concentration in my Salah? The Prophet said that the first status that will leave the Ummah is the khushu' in Salah. The concentration in Salah. So, SubhanAllah, Ibn Qayyim, he said that people with regards to Salah fall under the following different categories. So now as I'm listening, let me ask myself, where am I? Which category am I under? Number one, he said, ظَالِمُ لِنَفْسِي. A ظَالِمُ لِنَفْسِي, the one who wronged his soul or her soul. They don't care about the Salah. I mean, you know, people are fasting and they don't even pray, man. That's dangerous, right? People fast and don't pray.
Right.
I mean, that's very, very scary. So he said, this person doesn't care about Salah, doesn't care about the time of Salah, doesn't care about the wudu, doesn't care and doesn't pray. And he said, this person is in the danger zone now.
Right, SubhanAllah. And isn't there a hadith, I believe, that Rasulullah ﷺ cursed three people? And one of those people was one who, and the mafhum of it is that the month of Ramadan comes, and this person doesn't seek the month. In other words, he doesn't take benefit from this month. And that at the end of the month, he's not even forgiven.
Yeah, it's authentic hadith. Yeah.
So it's like the door's open, yet you don't want to walk in.
It's right there to start working on.
Yeah, it's like right there. It's like it's so easy for us, but yet we just, Ramadan comes and goes like every year, and still the TV's on 24 hours a day, still your nonsense talk, still this, still that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, save us from that.
So the Salah, subhanAllah, even it's being advertised to you, there's an adhan.
Right.
You're being called to it. So the first one he said is someone who doesn't care about the Salah. Number two he said is the one who, subhanAllah, yuhafithu ala mawaqitiha. وَحُدُودِهَا وَأَرْكَانِهَا, the one who guarded the times of prayer, the pillars of prayer, and the limits of prayer on the outward aspects of Salah and their wudu. But inwardly, they're lost in their thoughts. So they're praying, but they're doing their 401k. They're praying and thinking about, I can't wait for the Imam to finish, man. God, how many has he prayed already? Or they're praying and they're thinking about, you know, eating their samosas after they get home.
Or the brother's leg next to him.
Or the girl that they saw in the hallway that they're trying to hook up with. A'udhu billah, unfortunately, that's happening, right? Because like at the masjid I go to, if you look where the girls and the boys are, how come it's always a crowd over there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as if it just happens to happen, the whole taraweeh for 20 rak'ah, somebody's going to take 20 rak'ah to make wudu. So you're like, yo brother, why are you waiting over here? But the sister said, oh, I got to make wudu, man. What is it, like a 5.5 hour wudu? We need to call a fire department that hose you down? So subhanAllah,
I think some of them do need to get hosed down though.
Yeah, I think they need to get beat down. But subhanAllah,
send in Chacha for that one.
The person is lost in their thoughts and so on and so forth. The next one he said is the one who establishes Salah, and subhanAllah, in the Salah they concentrate and they take care of all the correct aspects of Salah. And this includes the knowledge of Salah, the arkan, the sunan of the Salah, the shurut of Salah, and so on and so forth, and the wudu. But subhanAllah, fighting their soul, they get lost in fighting their soul, and it takes them away from the concentration of Salah. They're fighting themselves, so that takes them from the concentration of Salah. And Ibn Qayyim, he said, subhanAllah, that this person is in Salah and in Jihad. SubhanAllah, this person is making a type of Jihad, what, on their soul. And inshaAllah ta'ala, they'll be rewarded for it. The last one he said, subhanAllah, it's very, very beautiful. Man, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, to make us one of these people.
Ameen.
This would be really great. He said, is that person, when they stand for Salah, they stand with their heart as though it was in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, it is as if they are looking at Allah and witnessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although, of course, nobody can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. And they are lost in the love and the awesome nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As though, كَأَنَّهُ يَرَاهُ, as though he sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he's witnessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although he's not. And he said, this person, when they pray, every word is for Allah, every thought is for Allah, every movement is for Allah, every Allahu Akbar, every subhanallah, subhanahu rabbi al-a'la, everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the salam is for Allah. And he said, like this person, he said that the waswas runs from them, the waswas flees from them, like fire flees from the water, man. the shaitan runs from this person. So in this month of Ramadan, we should try to work to be from that level, where we think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we fight our soul in our salah. I think you have a guest speaker right today.
Yeah, we have, if you could just let him in.
Let him in.
Imam Patrick.
It's a small car, but...
Oh, sorry. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. How are you, Brother Imam Patrick?
Alhamdulillah. Kayful hal.
Alhamdulillah, Omer, it's Brother Imam Patrick.
Assalamu alaikum, Imam Patrick. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Great, JazakAllah for spending some time with us on the show. And
the car's kind of small.
Right, I know you had to take a flight down over here and stuff, so thanks for joining us.
No problem. Now, I came here today. I know you guys were talking about five things we could do, some practical things we could do to savor this month of Ramadan.
Well, unfortunately, I got three, though.
Oh, you only covered three?
So maybe you could add two.
Okay. See,
can I ask you a question first?
Sure.
Are you, by chance, related to the Pat Robinson, the famous one on the 700 Club?
Well, you see here, I really don't like to talk about this, but, I mean, it's really emotionally disturbing for me. We were actually switched at birth. And,
okay.
Excuse me there.
Okay.
Can you please control yourself there? We were switched at birth, and my parents, they saw something evil in him. So that's why they got me instead.
So he was like shipped off to somewhere else.
Right.
This is very interesting.
But I like to keep it on the down low, if you don't mind. I know you only have about three listeners.
Yeah, me and my wife and Brother Lemire.
Right.
So, alhamdulillah, I guess Omer's kind of gone outside for a while, so I guess I have to take over the interview here. Hold on, I think Omer's at the door. Hold on. Let me let him back in the car.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
It's really getting
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, I had to get some fresh air, sorry about that.
Okay, so Imam Patrick,
yes.
You'd like to add some things about savoring Ramadan.
Yeah, I mean, I came up with 5 points of my own, hopefully, that we could benefit from these little 5 points that I brought about here. And the first one, which especially during the month of Ramadan, is to eat light. A lot of us tend to...
40 watt? Or
excuse me?
A 40 watt one?
No. Not light bulb. It's just to eat light.
Oh, lightly.
Lightly, exactly. If, for example, when the samosas come your way,
right,
you don't want to pig out.
Okay.
It's not a good sign. First of all, heartburn can occur in the digestive system. So eat light, don't pig out like a crazy animal.
Right.
So, you know, think about the blessings that's coming to us, and then don't pig out. Because you get sick, and then obviously when that comes around, then you don't feel all sticky and queasy in the stomach, and then also you release a lot of drakars.
Okay.
Drakar is an Urdu word that I learned from my friend. It means to burp.
Okay.
Basically, and you don't want to insult your brotherly neighbor.
Right.
During, and the second point, which ties in with number one, is a lot of people astaghfirullah, is that they tend to want to open their fast with junk food, like McDonald's. Okay, this is something truly unacceptable. It's like you're abstaining and you're doing something good, but then you want to open your fast with something unhealthy and something I think it's evil. Outright evil is what they. Have you seen what they do to the cows in there? How they raise the chickens in little cages, and the machines slaughter them. Pull off the feathers.
No.
It's just crazy. SubhanAllah, man. Okay, so number one is thinking about what you eat, because you are what you eat. Seriously. Number two, don't sleep. I know some brothers.
Number three.
Right? No, number one was connected.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, so number two was don't sleep. For example, if you're fasting throughout the day, you don't want to sleep all the way until 5 p.m., then you got 9 minutes to break your fast. It's not right. You can't be sleeping. What's the point of fasting? You're supposed to feel the whole thing. You know, what's the point? You can't be doing graveyard shifts and then coming home and sleeping all day.
And why would people, unless of course people have to work and stuff, right? But why would people, or people have to do like, you know, study for exams, that would be a legitimate excuse. But what about people, like, I mean, why would people be up that late anyways for no reason? What would they be out there doing right now?
Right, especially, I mean, when Ramadan comes, we have to prepare in advance. We have to know our schedules. We have to accommodate the schedule around Ramadan.
Of course, but somebody that's working that has no ability to change class.
Of course, there's limitations, but we should obviously try to wake up for the salats.
No, I'm sure they would do that.
Inshallah. Number three is, this is very important, which I'm very weak on myself, and I request all the peoples out there to make dua for me. And make a lot of dua, seriously. And that is to keep your ties with the parents. To listen to your parents if they tell you to do something, and not even go say darn. If they tell you to do something, don't say darn. Just say, okay, alhamdulillah, and do it. You know, and listening to your parents. Like, for example, my mommy, she was...
Your other Muslim?
Yes, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
What's her name?
I can't say that over the air.
So,
you know.
Sorry.
Yes.
What do you call her? What? Patrick?
I just call her mommy. So, like for example, my mama, she was telling me, what the heck is going on with you? Why don't you break your fast with me instead of running off to the masjid? So I had to compromise. I'll break my fast at home, but then I run to the masjid so I could catch Jama'ah.
Okay.
So you try to fulfill the wants and needs of your parents, as little as they seem. I'm telling you, you could do the littlest things and your parents are pleased with that.
How's your wife doing?
I'm to Lola.
Yeah. So how's your budding community over there going?
We're growing. Definitely growing. I remember last time I told you we had about three people. Or was it two?
Two
people. Yeah, now we have three people. That's because my wife just had a kid. So the community's growing now. We've got actually a row in the back. We just put the push chair in the back there. And forms a nice little row in the back. Now, number four, which helps me out a lot, is when Taraweeh comes around.
You and your wife and your baby, right?
Right.
And your mom comes in.
Yeah, we do a little 5-minute stretch.
Okay.
Because sometimes, you know, Taraweeh can take you out. You know, so you want to stretch out, you know, do your little, prepare your fingers for the, you know, when you lift your finger.
Okay.
You know, you want to stretch that out. Go ahead and stretch out your legs. You know, make sure your neck's okay for doing the salams. You know, stretch out your neck.
Yeah.
And so then that way your salat is more comfortable.
Okay.
So that's tip number four we could do during this month. Practical things we could do is go ahead and do a little stretch. Number five is the most important. Now, I'm telling you people out there, y'all better listen now.
Find a wife.
Y'all need to take heed on this point I'm about to tell you right now.
It's not to find a wife.
Sorry. Stack for Allah. Make a stick far.
That's how for the brother was looking for one.
Right, but I don't know about during the month of Ramadan. I mean, I guess you could be asking for it, but not
what
looking.
Would be wrong in Ramadan?
But not looking for it during in the hallways, like you were mentioning earlier, right?
That's not what I'm implying.
Anywho, number
four. You're a tough mom, man.
Well, you got to be tough. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. Ramadan is a time for you to toughen up, for you to roll up your sleeves and get down and dirty. I mean, down and pure.
Yeah,
down and
yeah,
pure. Down and pure. So, number five, like I was...
What madhhab are these answers on?
Excuse me?
What madhhab?
Oh, they're Patricky.
Patricky.
Patricky. We follow the Patricky madhhab.
Okay.
So, number five is now most important, and that is to take a sledgehammer. You take a sledgehammer or a chainsaw. Now, I personally like to use my tractor, okay, but sledgehammer will do, or a chainsaw, and that is to go up to your television set, and you pound it, give it a one, and you give it a two, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to take my tractor, okay, put it in first gear, run over it, second gear, run over it, third gear, run over it, and just pound a sucker.
Is this like a whip? Three times?
Yes, three times, because, you know, three is the sunnah. Odd number is sunnah.
Okay.
So take a three beating. I personally like to do 233.
But, I mean, what if people just turn it off for the month?
That's good, too, but what I found most effective is just throw away the TV, pound it a couple of times, because it's darn right evil. I'm telling you, there's nothing pure good on TV around these days.
Do you buy one every year?
No, we just had one. We just did this in 1978, the first time when we go ahead.
You're salivating as you're talking about this.
Well, it's really emotional for me because I saw Barney. Have you seen that show, Barney?
1978? It was like a disco Barney?
Well, I saw a preview. They were planning to see this plot is evil. They've been working on it for several years.
Is this a tall tale?
Excuse me?
Is this one of those tall tales?
Okay, I think I should make this too far. Okay. Sorry about that. But
you saw something.
I saw something, and it just, you see, I can't talk about it. I get too emotional. I gotta take my medication then.
Was
and
it
I'm
Bo
fasting.
Derek?
I can't take my medication.
Was it Bo Derek?
Wait, let's not go there.
Okay.
I don't want to think about nothing too hot and heavy here. Alzabala having a shaitan or a dream. Okay, so
Patrick is sweating, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, so number five is to if please just turn off the TV. If you can, give it a little 1-2 hoop-de-doo.
Okay, subhanAllah, you know, just like Imam Patrick.
No problemo.
For your time spending with us, I know it was very busy schedule, obviously, during the month of Ramadan. Jazakallah khair also for our other special guest, Ustad Soheb Webb.
It's always interesting.
Alhamdulillah. Glad you found it interesting. Hopefully we can, inshallah ta'ala, benefit.
Maybe we should just tell them the other two points, even though we didn't get to elaborate on it.
Yeah, inshallah.
To complete the five.
Okay, go ahead.
Is dhikr wa shukr. That people should be making dhikr of Allah and shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm.
So we kind of did touch up on it, you know, during the, yeah, so indirectly. So.
Imam Patrick, it was great to see you, bro.
No problem. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu
alaikum. You got my email right?
Yeah, farmerjack at
yahoo.com.
Yahoo.com.
All
right. Okay, so jazakallah khair for spending some time with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to implement what we heard today, and may we implement it in our lives and bring about this quality inside our hearts. Jazakallah khair for listening. Assalamu alaikum.
Mecca 1111.
To help support Mecca 1 Radio, or to bring Mecca 1 Radio to your city, please visit us on the web at www.mecca1.com.